Introduction. We all have ideas buzzing in our minds, like bees in a hive, waiting to take flight. Most of those ideas remain in the hive and never get implemented, despite the best intentions. One of the biggest roadblocks is us. We often deviate from the natural flow of life and spend too much time in storms of chaos and rigidity without integrating our experiences. In other words, we sabotage our progress. There are other ways ideas get tanked, which I will address later, but the most significant outlier is us. The first point of contact with an idea is in our mind. Once an idea is conceived, our actions, decisions, and behaviors are the primary factors that affect the outcome of our ideas before external factors have a significant influence. Knowing we sabotage our own progress begs me to ask a few questions. Would you like to expand your potential to birth new ideas? Would you like to learn how to implement those ideas and commit to self-growth? Would you like to spend less time struggling to swim upstream against chaos and rigidity, and more time moving with the current of life, refining ideas that work? Would you like to stop raining on the idea parades of other people? If you answered yes to some or all of these questions, then this book is for you. With dedication, you can master the art of generating, refining, and implementing ideas. My goal is to help you do that. Let's unite in supporting each other during this birthing process as midwives do. In doing so, we not only elevate our sense of worthiness, well-being, and prosperity, but we also begin to transform our troubled world. We need more of us to breathe life into ideas from the inside out and the outside in. Birthing an idea. Once we breathe life into our ideas, the world often shifts in ways we never foresaw. The midwife analogy is important in making this happen. Just as a proper nurturing and preparation during the gestation and delivery phases can yield remarkable outcomes for both the newborn and its guardians, so can proper nurturing and preparation of our gestating ideas yield remarkable outcomes for our newborn dreams. On the one hand, we end up with more well-adjusted humans. On the other, we have more world-changing dreams. Ideas we birth also involve entrusting others to their care. We rely on interdependent beings, each other, and the variations within our species to survive and not only advance ideas, but save our planet. The moment we take our first breath, the journey of individuation begins. We start to separate ourselves from our caretakers, gradually learning who we are beyond those who raised us. Through exploration and challenges, we uncover our true selves and what we are made of. Ideas we birth take on a life of their own. I'm fascinated by how we generate them, how unexpected twists emerge as they develop, revealing growth possibilities we hadn't even considered. These ideas reshape our lives and the way we live. Self-growth. Self-growth is a process we often believe we initiate, but it's the unexpected experiences that truly shape us. The birthing of new ideas presents significant opportunities for personal growth, inspiring us to delve deeper into what makes us tick. From these unexpected experiences, we extract the lessons that reshape our lives. We are challenged to release what has served as purpose, to create space for new ideas that propel us forward. When we relinquish the outcome, we seize control of our growth. The cycle of idea generation, implementation, and refinement is a continuous process that endures throughout our physical lives. We can become adept at navigating transitions as our mind, body, and soul evolve right up until we exhale our last breath. Persistence is what makes life worth living, and this book worth reading as you take charge of your idea cycles. To understand how we develop and birth ideas, we have to start by reflecting on where we come from. Here is a bit of my history that led me to become an entrepreneur. an idea generator infused with entrepreneurial activity. In 1984, when I graduated from college, a distant cousin, Mary Lee Meyer Garby, published a family document on our Meyer and Nathy ancestry. Public information is also available on the Meyer and Imdick histories. What Miss Garby found surprised us. A new life connected to our roots. When my family moved from a quaint small town to a bustling dairy farm community in central Minnesota, it completely transformed our way of life. Our move, unbeknownst to us at the time, also connected us to our ancestors, the Meyer dairy farmers. A Native American Indian missionary known as Father Pierce sought to recruit thrifty, hardworking, and prosperous German farmers to settle in the United States and share their farming practices. Father Pierce placed an advertisement in Germany for Catholic farmers. He described Minnesota as a paradise. My German Catholic ancestors arrived in the United States in the 1850s. In 1858, they settled in Grove Township, a place that would later bear their name, Meyer Grove, in honor of my pioneering forebears, Elizabeth Meyer and her two sons, John and Hermann, from Oldenburg, Germany. Together, they forged a thriving Catholic farming community. Meyer Grove is known for having the longest playing polka band in Minnesota. The first Meyer Band Circa performance took place in 1910. This history explains my affinity for brass sounds and music in general. I played the trumpet and baritone in high school. Accompanying others on the piano stuck with me into adulthood. Depending on the records reviewed, church records, passports, or other documentation from the Meyers in Holdorf and Oldenburg, Germany, my great-great-great-grandparents' names are spelled M-E-I-J-E-R, pronounced Maya, Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, and Meyer, M-E-I-E-R. The misspelling of the town's name was not a surprise. The story goes that a non-Meyer registered the town name and spelled her name wrong, and that name stuck as Meyer, M-E-I-R-E, Grove. I came from Herman's side of the family. Herman sold furs and skins of bear, rabbits, raccoon, and mink to purchase land that he developed with oxen. To support the burgeoning Catholic faith community, his brother Henry donated 5 acres of their land to build a school, which is now St. John the Baptist Catholic Church with an adjoining cemetery. There's so much more to my intricate story that captivates me, yet it need not be shared here. My main point is this. We often remain unaware of the forces that drive us to bring ideas to life. Gathering details about our ancestors offers intergenerational clues about learned behaviors, economics, and social environments beyond our genetics that are passed down from one generation to the next. My dad's deep-rooted passion for returning to dairy farming made more sense once I understood the Meyer family's legacy and the trauma he experienced when he didn't inherit the family farm. Parker's Prairie, Minnesota. For me, moving to a 365-acre dairy farm in central Minnesota might not seem ideal for a seventh grader, but my parents' decision worked out as well as it could for our family. We made the most of living in a small town and grew to love the community, which has a population of about 1,009 people. My experience up until that point had been all about city living, playing kick the can with neighbors and cousins, biking around town and swimming in Sauk Lake. I can still hear the laughter of friends at our backyard carnival, which my mom orchestrated. We painted rocks, got sand all over ourselves while playing in our sandbox, cheered each other on with games, and enjoyed homemade treats. And suddenly, I was surrounded by fields and cows. On a dirt road without a name, the closest neighbors were miles apart. Initially, the adjustment left me feeling overwhelmed, lost, and utterly disoriented. I grappled with the relentless challenges of farm life. Responsibilities loomed large. Caring for animals, milking cows before the school bus arrived, and tackling chores after school, feeding hay, milking cows, each task a test, each day a new hurdle. Making friends was no easy feat in such a tight-knit community. I attended a Catholic elementary school. We wore uniforms and attended church as part of our school routine. Voices of newfound friends attending public high school let me know that being Catholic didn't make me superior to those who had other religious practices. What united us was our humanity. We prayed to the same God, recited different prayers, and observed varying rituals. I came to enjoy challenges to my narrow thinking. As I accepted others with different beliefs and faith rituals, others accepted me. Even today, I still immerse myself in various cultures. My mom never envisioned herself as a dairy farmer's wife. Imagine going from planning carnivals and being active in school and church to a more secluded life on the farm. Her workload doubled. She had liked living in Sauk Center, a secure Catholic community and the birthplace of novelist and Nobel Prize winner in literature, Sinclair Lewis. Fortunately, in the last few years of her life, my mom would return to her beloved town. Mom learned about business ownership from my grandfather, who owned a farm equipment dealership in Greenwald, Minnesota, a few miles from Meyer Grove. That familiarity helped her accept and support our entrepreneurial adventure as we each grieved the loss of our other life, where my dad owned a tire business with his brothers and worked as a welder. We believed that if my dad followed his heart, we would all be taken care of. We forged a new life as dairy farmers, my four siblings included, and prepared for the birth of my youngest brother, bringing the total of children in our family to six. Chore time sparked an idea. During chore time, Dad would share his ideas, and I connected with him as I listened to him process his thoughts, the milk machines churning in the background. Through listening, I absorbed the mindset of an entrenovator and the all-consuming passion behind making a living. The importance of tinkering with and refining ideas stuck with me. I was intrigued by the notion of how some ideas abort early or stall over time, or how others become profitable through refinement, while others incubate for decades and become personal aspirations or worthwhile hobbies. Our role is to bring them into the light of day, examine their potential, and seize that window of opportunity by implementing ideas. One day while milking cows, my dad casually mentioned the idea of building a cabin in a secluded area where he could be alone. This dream would incubate for decades, leaving me to wonder when or if his cabin vision would ever see the light of day. In 2015, after my dad turned 80, he purchased a do-it-yourself cabin kit with pre-cut wood and enlisted the help of his 82-year-old brother Dave. Together, they constructed a cone-shaped cabin on a 4-acre wooded parcel of land he had acquired. The first time I visited the nearly finished cabin, I glanced up at the ceiling. The nails weren't quite flush with the wood, and a few stuck out. Dad chuckled as my eyes wandered upward, noting that his and Dave's eyesight isn't as sharp as it once was. Dad had cleared brush to carve out four-wheel trails and a driveway, bringing his rustic cabin dream in the woods to life, a hunting refuge for the next generation. Farm life, a life decision tending geese. Throughout those transformative years, I discovered that being an entrenovator extends beyond merely realizing dreams. Ideas are not just thoughts. They are the heartbeat of our human experience, ever capable of evolving into something extraordinary. My time embracing the rhythms of farm life became a catalyst for growth, urging me to adapt and find inspiration in the most unexpected corners of existence. One of those unexpected corners became an eye-opening lesson from tending geese. To guide a flock of 1,000, you only need to influence the 2 geese at the front. The rest will instinctively follow in their wake. I came to realize that if I were a goose, honk honk, I would want to be the leader of the flock. As I emerged from my high school years on the farm, I stepped into the world as a fierce leader, in charge of my own destiny, an explorer ready to unearth lessons hidden in the debris and share them with others. Determined not to be a follower in someone else's flock, I resolved to carve a path that would place me firmly in control of my future. With an intense commitment to self-leadership, I pursued 2 degrees, sought therapy, and took on diverse roles before founding We Mentor, Inc. in 1992. Those positions ranged from being a nurse's aide, a nanny, and an insurance agent, to being the number one telesalesperson in the country for the Minnesota Special Olympics, teaching elementary school-age children, and serving as a special education teacher. While expanding We Mentor, I taught entrepreneurship to college students for 14 years at 2 universities. I hope that my experiences can inspire you to craft a life that truly resonates with you. Taking bold risks in both my personal relationships and career has enabled me to lead an abundant and fulfilling life, even when faced with challenges. But most importantly, I've learned to understand the cycle of my ideas. Rarely do I find myself in the waters of chaos and rigidity, those disruptive forces that sever my connection to life's natural rhythm. It is this yearning to remain in a state of flow that nourishes my authentic way of living and invigorates my life's work. I feel whole. And the best news of all? Embracing self-leadership can ignite a new path for you as well. An explorer's mindset and my commitment to living in harmony with life's natural flow have inspired a concept I called entrenovation. This idea blends innovative thinking with entrepreneurial action. In the coming chapters, we'll delve into this new term. I've developed 2 assessment tools that you can use to discover whether you identify as an entrenovator, an intranovator, or somewhere in between. The birth of an idea. Our world is undergoing a profound transformation, presenting us with challenges that are reshaping our very existence. From urgent health crisis to the rising tide of loneliness, from the harsh realities of climate change to the relentless fight for gender equality, the growing influence of surveillance and artificial intelligence, the battle against nutritional scarcity and poverty. Each adds to the complexity of our lives as we strive to uphold our democratic foundations. Undeniably, these challenges compel us to evolve. Enter, What Am I Made For? Cultivate and Grow Big and Little Ideas, a book inviting you to explore a captivating perspective on our purpose. What if our mission is to nurture and unleash both monumental and modest ideas? Following this mission would mean reshaping how we live and lead, a path that serves as a solution to the pressing needs of our society. Imagine a world where each of us embraces our ideas, discovering and cultivating our unique talents every single day. What if we were encouraged to delve into our intergenerational history? What if we became attuned to behaviors that illuminate opportunities with clarity? How might our paths unfold? What sweeping changes could take root in our communities? Now more than ever, it's crucial to tap into our creativity, amplify our voices, and take meaningful action. The intricacies of today's landscape demand that we do more than merely innovate. We must transform our ideas into tangible businesses, movements, or organizations that drive real change. Now, within the pages of this book, you will encounter profound questions, fresh perspectives, and the empowering concept of self-leadership, all of which will help you take charge of how you innovate and bring new ideas to life. Ideas have the power to change the trajectory of your life. Some of the concepts in my book may seem familiar. We've all heard about creativity, entrepreneurship, and the value of our ideas. The uniqueness lies in my goal to help you become proficient in your idea cycles, generating, refining, and implementing your ideas. You can learn to identify, organize, and act on growth and potential business opportunities. This path of developing and birthing new ideas is about understanding who you are as a creative spiritual being and working from the inside out. What would it feel like to allow yourself to play, experiment, and explore other ways you can learn, live, and lead? What if you can release the rigidity, those ingrained tracks in your thinking, and tap into the life-giving energy of flow? Less forcefulness and more informed, guided, and intuitive action. Your ideas have the power to transform. Not only can some blossom into personal growth projects or fulfilling hobbies, but others may evolve into something even bigger. Perhaps you will forge a new family legacy, launch a groundbreaking business, fill a gap in an existing enterprise, or band together with others to foster a new organization or movement that strengthens our democracy. The world hungers for your unique ideas and authenticity. This book will guide you in transforming intentions into action, valuing the micro steps that build momentum. Is this your moment to become real, to delve deeper into how you generate ideas? I couldn't help but think of Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas when they crafted the blockbuster ballad, What Was I Made For?, the very inspiration behind this book's title. Their collaboration for the iconic Barbie movie in 2023 perfectly captured the essence of transformation, watching Barbie and Ken evolve from dolls into a woman and man, experiencing human emotions for the first time, struck a chord within me. It mirrors the blend of innocence, fear, and exhilaration we all encounter when we dare to breathe life into our dreams, whether grand or modest. In that moment of follow-through, we become real. By reading this book and completing mentor-guided reflections at the end of each chapter, I hope that you will resonate deeply with the idea of becoming real and bring more of your ideas into the world. Your nervous system can relax into the words that invite you to learn. Join me as we embark on this adventure together. Here are some tangible takeaways waiting for you. Take two assessments. Determine if you are an entrenovator, an intranovator, or somewhere in between. Complete mentor-guided reflections at the end of each chapter. These reflections are crafted to forge a deeper connection with yourself, empowering you to assert self-leadership, dive into the depths of who you are, and amplify your commitment to your ideas. Assess your universal human needs. Embrace and eagerly fulfill the body-regulating needs we all share. Generate more options as you navigate, dismantle, and transcend roadblocks to innovation. Draw inspiration from worthiness, embrace uncomfortable emotions, and nurture your curiosity. Refine how you develop and birth ideas. Elevate your human capital. Enhance self-worth. Claim ownership and apply fresh skills and insights to craft a life rich with meaning. Whether you launch a business or not, your ideas deserve exploration.